Hey everybody, I'm really happy to be here today with our friend Max Noyer, who has been a guest on our podcast almost 3 years ago. And we were just saying offline, we can't believe it's been 3 years. Certainly time flies. Max, welcome back, and we're happy to have you here to interview our guest today, Paola Giamatti, who is a biologist focusing on cancer research all the way in Norway. So welcome, Max. Welcome, Paola.
Thank you so
Thank you very
much.
much. Thank you.
It's really great to be back. It's great to be here with you, Matt, and to meet you, Paola. Very excited to learn more about you and your journey today. So, yeah, how are you? I see you're from Norway. How is that? How's the weather?
I'm good. Norway now we have springtime, but I'm the north of Norway, so Tromsø is the name of the city, and it's a lot of snow still. So I need wait a bit to maybe after Easter. We have 1 month more with snow probably, and I can see the ground and the grass again.
I'm sure you're looking forward to
Yes.
that. So if you want to give a quick intro of yourself, I know Matt mentioned that you do cancer research, so I'd love to hear some background on that before we jump into your Lyme story.
Yes, I did my PhD in Brazil, also my master's degree, and I came to Norway. Before I had no job here, I found a job in a kitchen. I work very hard in kitchen. This time I thought, oh my God, I'm going to give up because it was very hard work for me. I didn't understand what was happening with my body. But I managed and I found a job in my area. So I'm working with cancer research in a very nice group in the University of Tromsø. And yeah, I study many kind of cancers like sarcoma, lung cancer, colon, prostate, mama. Yes. So for
That's
me,
beautiful.
it's a very good job. I sometimes I say for myself, I don't know if I could work in another place because my job is calm. Norwegians are calm people, mostly from the north. They are more concerned about not, of course, job is important, but they don't live for work. Like we do in Brazil or maybe in other countries, I think maybe United States also, people are more focused in job and not in li private life sometimes. So here I feel I'm more healthy about, I mean, when I talk about stress, I have less, much less stress.
Paul, I'm going to jump in real quick with Max as well, because it's interesting to talk about the perspective of work and the stress environment, which has a direct impact on our health and specifically people with Lyme, like us and people listening to this podcast. So, here in the States, I'm from New York. I can tell you're right. People live for work, which is a really unhealthy way to live. So, that's something that I've learned through my Lyme journey. And, Max, I believe you've been all over the world. You've been in New York, and now I think you're overseas. So, Max, can you touch on where you are now and what it's like where you are? And then pick up the conversation with Paola, please.
For sure. Yeah, I'm in Uganda at the moment and I'm living in Uganda and I've kind of been back and forth from here for the last 2 years, I believe. Uganda is a very interesting place in regards to work and life balance. Some people work constantly, like literally constantly. Everybody has many different hustles. I don't know anyone who does one thing and one thing only. Everyone has their hands in a million different jobs. And then there are people who are just enjoying and they don't really do anything ever for work. So you have this funny mixture of work-life balance, and work-life balance has been something personally that I've been struggling to understand, especially from the perspective of having a chronic illness and trying to navigate that. So I'd love to hear first about how you were before Lyme disease, and then kind of dig into more deeply how life changed for you and how you've been handling work-life balance.
Actually, when you have a illness, you don't know what you have. You just live your life and you think, okay, this is normal. So since I was 11, I had strange conditions, and I remember very well when I was in, I need to be in bed for 1 month, about 1 month. I was feeling weak. I could not walk. I could not go to school. I had a bit fever. And I remember I went to the doctor, but nothing happened. And I just stay at home. I thought maybe it's depression. I thought not when I was 11 about depression, but when I was with 22, 23, and I remember this situation, I said, okay, maybe is the was depression with 11 years old, but I could not understand. And I with 15, I remember my mother needed to carry me in her back because I could not continue walking. The bus stop was 2 kilometers from my house, and I need to do this way, go and back every day to go to school. Because I lived in the middle of forest in Brazil. So I just it was very, very hard. I realized that when I was 20, 21 years old, it started to, these trigger points in back, it started to appear. And first one I remember was in my neck. And I thought, what is this? It's a tumor. Because I never had, or I couldn't understand. And also I had problems in back, more trigger points, a piercing. And it started like this. And I couldn't follow so well the university. I felt super tired, super tired. And I could, can you imagine in presentation, I was going forward with slides for a friend, chuk chuk, pressing the button forward, next, and I press it next, and suddenly I slept. And she started to next, 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 and I was sleeping. And so in meetings with boss, I slept in the middle of meetings in front of my boss. So I was super tired all the time. And in São Paulo, where I lived, I spent about 4 hours to go and come back from job.
Paula,
So,
real quick, I want to ask. So, if we can go back to the time you were 11 when you first got sick, you said that you were in bed for about a month and then it got worse where you couldn't even walk by the time you were 15 to the bus stop. So, where were you living? I think you said that you grew up in Brazil. So, is that where you were at this time?
Yes. I grew up in Brazil. I came to Norway 2018.
Okay.
So,
So in Brazil, when you were 11, did your parents bring you to a doctor? What were they saying? Because a young child being bedbound for a month and a young child not being able to walk to the bus stop is very alarming. So I'm curious what life was like and what doctors you were seeing as a young child.
I went to the doctor and I remember no blood tests, anything. And I just said, okay. I remember the doctor said something about, I don't know what is this. Maybe it's a virus, like all doctors do, when they don't know what is happening, they say it's virus. And I just stay at home without any medicine, just waiting to be better. So nothing.
Did you get a little bit better? So I know you never got fully restored and you weren't, the way you were before, but did you get better enough to go back to school and quasi function in life? What was life like as a young child?
Yes. I felt better. I could come back to school, but I realized it that my memory and everything around me started to decrease. Like the attention was harder, everything was harder. I could feel more pain in body many times, but always also family. My mother said, "Ah, it's normal. You are growing. You feel pain when you are growing." And okay, I had issues with my heart. I feel pain in chest. It's normal. In my age, I had the same. So all the time, I heard this from my mother, from doctors. I many times try to go to doctor after because I started to be really bad with 20, about really bad, with a lot of pain that never ends. And they said it's fibromyalgia. Yes.
So, Paula, real quick. So, really, up until the time you were 20, you didn't see any other doctors because your mom said these are normal growing pains. But looking back, you realized that they weren't. So, you really just were struggling
Yes.
through as a child up until you were 20, correct?
Yes. And also with strange things in my skin. Ah, it's normal. Maybe it's some because of the warm or every always. Of course, I don't want to put in my mother like she's guilty, but in her mind also I understand that she had everything for children to feel like everything it will be okay.
Did you have any brothers and
So
sisters that were
yes,
as
I
well?
had
And how many?
one brother and one sister.
Were they healthy? Were they having any health issues, or were you the one who was really struggling the most with your health as a child?
They are, you mean if they are healthy?
Yes,
They are,
they are.
yes.
So you were just the daughter who was a little bit more sick than your brother and sister, but your mom thought it was normal. So
Exactly.
now you still go to school, you graduate, and you go to college, correct?
Yes, exactly.
So let's focus on your college experience because that seems like the time when you really started to crash and have severe health issues. You talked about, managing a presentation for a fellow student, clicking through the PowerPoint slides, and you fell asleep while doing that for a fellow student. You had extreme pain, and I believe you said that you were diagnosed with fibromyalgia at this time.
Yes, with 20, I was diagnosed by fibromyalgia. And I had also, I just thought, what is, maybe it's fibromyalgia because I was speaking with a psychiatric. And he said, okay, you are taking antidepressant because I was with depression. And he said, okay, how you feel? And I feel less pain. What? Less pain? Why? Oh, and he said this medicine is using also for fibromyalgia. Maybe you have. So after my psychiatrist, help me with this word.
Yep, psychiatrist. You're saying
Yes,
you're perfect.
psychiatrist. Yes, thank you. So after this doctor, I went to a rheumatologist and they said, they confirmed. Okay, you have fibromyalgia.
Were you seeing any other doctors before you saw the psychiatrist, or that was the first doctor you saw to seek help from your symptoms?
I went in many doctors. Because when I became older, I fought more with my mother, and I had no money also to go. But many times when I could pay for a doctor, I was. Maybe 2 times per month in doctor, just try to understand, okay, why I have pain in chest, why I have these problems with my intestine, why I have these problems with pain in muscles and joints. So always was connected fibromyalgia, and also when I was 26 years old, I tried to join to the police and I jumped when, yeah, there was a kind of test I needed to jump and I destroyed one ligament. And after that, I did a surgery after 1 year. And this surgery, it was super hard to recover. And they said, all is okay in your resonance, magnetic resonance. And I said, but I feel a lot of pain. What is happening? And one guy said, you should visit a special place for pain because looks like it's fibromyalgia again, fibromyalgia again. So, okay, one more time, fibro problems. So I struggled a lot. I paid a lot, many, many times for doctors and nothing.
So from the time you were
And
20 to 26, you saw a lot of doctors, physical and mental health, and all the physical doctors said it must be fibromyalgia. And then your psychiatrist validated that by saying the medication you were on for your mental health helped your physical symptoms, which is a sign of fibro. And at that point, it just kept coming back and coming back. But I'm curious, were you ever tested for Lyme disease or other tick-borne illnesses from this, time of 20 to 26?
No, never. You know, when I came to Norway, 2018, I started to work at the university 2019, and there, after 3 years, about 2023, actually, last year, my colleague in job, she said, your symptoms looks like the symptoms from one guy we have here in Norway. He is from the TV. His name is Lars Monsen. He was beaten by tick. And she asked me if I was beaten also. And I said many times when I was a kid, many times. For me, it was like routine being beaten by this because I live in forest. I had a lot of dogs with this. There was cows and capybara around the area. So, yes, many times. Okay, so I started to search about many illness from tick-borne diseases. And I saw, wow, Lyme disease fits so well. And I tried to speak with a doctor in Brazil. And he said, send your blood to Germany. And because I tried to diagnose here in Norway, but the doctors here, they are not prepared. Even in the laboratories, they are not prepared for this kind of illness. It's not, and also Lars Monsen, this Norwegian guy from the TV, he discovered his Lyme disease in Germany, like me, because here they are not able to diagnose.
So I want to kind of recap because the frustration I think so many of us feel in this community, you had to consult with professionals in three different countries to get a diagnosis. And it only got brought to your attention because a colleague said, hey, somebody who's on TV, somebody famous, had Lyme disease, and your symptoms seem like it. I think you should go consider Lyme. You then, in Norway, reach out to a doctor in Brazil who refers you to get your blood work tested in Germany, right? So the fact that you have to bounce around so many countries to get a diagnosis and clarity, and no doctor in, several decades even thought about a tick-borne illness is a little disheartening to hear that in, overseas and in Germany and in Brazil and in Norway, the awareness of Lyme disease is as bad as it is here in the United States. So before we go there, I want to pull back a little bit more to your 20s, right? So before you graduated college and before you went on to, get your PhD and then you moved to Norway to work at a university to study cancer, you were still in school struggling with your health, but you still got your degree. So you graduated and you must have been taking some science and medical classes to get your PhD. In any of your education, in any of your classes, did you ever learn about Lyme disease or tick-borne illnesses and how severe they can be?
One thing that is crazy is that I'm a biologist and I worked with tick. I in my bachelor, I did a project because I wanted to see if I could find, for example, in one special area in Brazil, it was a favela area. I would like to take tick from dogs to identify these ticks and see if they could be a potential vector for illness for people and for dogs. But I just identified the ticks. So I was not really into Lyme, into illness, but look how crazy is. And I already had the illness.
That is insane. So you were
Yes.
studying different species or types of ticks to identify what diseases they can carry. So, for example, a dog tick is known to carry different diseases than maybe the Lone Star tick. So you were studying what these ticks can carry and, helping identify various ticks and what diseases they may spread to humans, but never
Yeah.
thought maybe I'm suffering from a tick-borne illness myself.
No, because I was focused more on biology and in zoology. I was not focused in in microbiology. You see,
So
so.
and I think that's a big problem, Paolo, with the medical community, especially here in the United States. And I'm curious if it's a problem where you are and were, both in Brazil and Norway, where our specialized care with medicine really kind of puts these narrow blinders on, where people don't see things that may be related in another field of study. And it seems like that's what you were experiencing, that you were a biologist. But you weren't really getting any information from people who studied the diseases to help you kind of put the bigger picture together. And that didn't come into play until you were, now working in the field and a colleague talked to you, correct?
Yes, very hard to. No one connected. I never connected, also.
So based on that, what are your thoughts on education and universities? If you are studying biology like you did, do you believe that there should be more of an emphasis on things that are related to give you a broader knowledge of the field you're studying? Do you think that would have been helpful for you in your personal experience? And do you think that would be helpful for you in your professional experience as well?
For sure. Yes. And I remember the time I studied the bachelor. Lyme disease was not so, people never spoke about Lyme disease in Brazil, or if they spoke, it was very like short, you know, because everything we talk it's about United States. So, of course, I think today this education program should change a little bit or too much or a lot, because it's a lot of people being with this illness. So, and we just have chronicle, have no cure, and do you struggle for the rest of your life? So it's very serious, and I don't know why. A lot of people still don't know what is this.
So let's go back to you're 26 years old and you're studying to now and taking a test to become a police officer. So part of that is a physical test, it sounds like, where you're doing a physical test and you tear a ligament. So you get an injury. You get an MRI and you have to have some surgery, and the MRI shows after the surgery that everything is okay, but yet you're still having pain and you're not recovering. So what are your doctors saying? Because this is a trend. This is something that keeps happening in your life where you keep getting sick, you keep having these things that other people have, but you're not recovering like everybody else. Are you, your family, or your doctors saying, what's going on with Paola where she can't recover and she seems to be more sickly than everybody else, her brother, her sister, and everybody else around her?
About my family, I think they always thought maybe I'm more not weak but fragile in some point. And also because everyone thought that was fibromyalgia. So, and the doctors always treated me like, okay, if it's fibromyalgia, it's depression. So, yeah. It's hard to answer because all the time looks like no one knows what to say, no one knows what to expect. And many times I felt like everyone with Lyme disease felt one time at least that, okay, I'm crazy or I am inventing, I want to make drama. Or many times I felt, that doctors or family could, not family, but maybe my mother always, pray for God, So this is one thing also that made me a bit angry with religion and, these people that has Lyme disease and, oh, mindset, full mindset, or, oh, meditation. I say, for me, this doesn't work. For me, this is just beautiful to see. For me, what really worked was antibiotics and occupy my mind, because we know that Lyme disease give depression, give a lot of issues with head. And the way I found to jump from these problems is not meditation, or because I tried everything before, like meditation, energy, Reiki, So for me, it's keep mind occupied. And even if you have pain, try do exercises. Because for me, I say to my boyfriend, my dream is climbing. And I thought, okay, now I will never climb because I know I have a lot of issues with my joints. I'm not strong, I feel weak. But I said, why not? And we tried. And I can feel after almost 2 months climbing that my muscles are responding much better and much stronger, but I feel a lot of pain. I say, usually I put in my social medias some jokes about climbing. And when I put like the first 3 meters, it's first level of pain. The next 3 meters is the second level of pain. So the pain, how much I go up, as much as I go up, more painful is. But I feel very good when I can reach the top of this. And the pain for me works because next time I feel stronger. And today I'm able to open bottles. Before I was not able to open bottles. So this is my view and my opinion about this. My mother always, oh, pray, mindset, la, relax. This doesn't work for me. So I get a bit angry with this kind of way to solve,
I am curious to ask before your diagnosis, when you realized you were falling asleep during meetings, during classes, did you find any methods of changing the way that you live that could kind of help you succeed or keep your head above water in school or work, or did you kind of just struggle through?
I just struggled through and tried, live one day per one time, how you say in English, day by day. So I just thought about, I want to finish this because I didn't like school. I felt so tired. University, I was happy, but I felt super tired. So hard. But I was just walking because I felt if I stop, I will die. This was always my feeling. If I decide to, I don't know, I cannot go anymore. I feel that I am becoming old and I'm going to die. So I just try to keep going, and that's it. So. And this is the only way I found to solve. So I am living like day by day. For example, today I have a lot of pain. This night was very bad. because I am my period, and we with that have Lyme disease, we know women have a lot of issues during period. So I had my treatment. I can say, okay, I am better, maybe 75%. But when I am my period, I have this oscillation with all symptoms, all symptoms. And one thing that is important to say here also, it's in 2022, November, I had corona. And after this, my immunity was so crazy. I don't know what happened. And I started to have a lot of bad, worse symptoms of Lyme disease. So at this time, I said, okay, I am dying. So I should run and just really understand what is happening. So my colleague said, oh, you have this paresthesia in your mouth. You don't feel your tongue. You feel pain. You cannot open your mouth. This looks so much Lars Monsen, this guy from TV. So after that, she said, try to see if you have this disease, illness. So last year was my hell year because I was with a lot of pain and I shaked voice, my voice was trembling. I couldn't speak well, I couldn't think or make or solutions, fast solutions. I couldn't walk well. I look old lady walking. I needed to hold the walls. And sometimes I feel my voice shaking. It's not common, but if I am more nervous or I feel it's difficult. My hands shakes also. I am a writer. I cannot write anymore, or at least I have many books published in Brazil. But this year, I mean last year, I couldn't create anything. My mind was like a just white cloud, and I cannot. I'm still in this cloud, trying to go out of this.
Paolo, let's jump back a little bit. So you're now in Norway working at university, and you're told by a colleague about potentially having Lyme disease, and you send your blood over to Germany for testing. Do you recall the lab? Was it Armin Lab? Do you know where in Germany, what lab you sent your blood to?
The name of the lab?
Yes.
Oof, I need to check because my memory is not so good. Arming Labs, yes. Arming Labs.
Yeah,
Wow. Yes.
we actually had Dr. Armin on this podcast. He's the founder of Armin Labs, and people from the United States and all around the world use him and his lab for Lyme disease testing. So it's interesting to hear that, in Brazil and Norway, you're still using Armin Labs in Germany. They seem to be the premier lab in the world. So when you got your lab work done, did you only look for Lyme disease, or were you looking for co-infections as well? And what were the results?
Co-infections. I
Co-infections. Okay.
saw the co-infections. It came positive for Lyme disease. But here in Norway, they didn't accept the answer from Armin Labs. They said, maybe this is like a scam laboratory. But like you said, it's one of the best of the world. And I did for co-infections, but my treatment included Bartonella also. Even it was negative for this, but my doctor said maybe it's better we try also Bartonella because of my issues. I treated for 3 months with 3 different antibiotics and supplements, and later I had resistance. I think because of these fumes we have in the joints. And I was still having Herx reaction. And I took 3 more months of treatment with three other kinds of medicine, including for Bartonella. And I still had this Herx reaction, but I was getting better.
Paola, tell us about you. Do you remember the type of antibiotics? Because, well, I guess let's go back even further. How did you find a Lyme literate doctor to treat you? So it sounds like Lyme isn't really well known. How did you find a doctor to work with you and work with Armin Labs to believe you that you have Lyme disease and even Bartonella, even though your test was negative, knowing that the tests aren't perfect? What was it? Was it your colleague? Was it your research? How did you find your doctor? And then what was the treatment specifically? Do you recall the type of antibiotic?
I found a doctor through internet on the newspapers in Brazil, and I saw that he was the most important doctor in Brazil that works with this illness. And I searched him, spoke with him, and he gave me this tip about Army Labs. And he said, you know that this test for Lyme disease, mostly with people with chronic condition like you, maybe it can happen that just 40% accurate, I think, the all tests. I don't know about Bartonella, but for Lyme disease, it's like this. And I said, okay, but it came positive anyway. And he said it's Lyme disease cannot be just based on tests, but clinical conditions. And if you have also in your history of life bite, if you were bitten of this, or an allergies, and I had, of course, so issues with skin. So I also searched many forums and people speaking very well about this doctor. His name is Carlos Levisky. And the treatment you asked, right? I took, I need to remember now, but this blue methylene, doxycycline, azithromycin, tinidazole, I need to check again, but
No,
now I don't remember.
that was good because those are the three common antibiotics that are used together for Lyme and co-infections that have the most effective use against Lyme. And that's something that a lot of doctors are beginning to use. It's not just one antibiotic, it's several, a combination of antibiotics to help treat Lyme disease. So I do want to kind of talk about something you said earlier. You said that before you got diagnosed, your parents were saying, hey, you need to pray and you'll feel better. And people were saying, hey, focus on your mindset and you'll feel better. And you were like, no, I have something really wrong with me and I needed antibiotics. And though your family were just trying to help, but I think that's a hard balance because for me personally, Paola, I have found that yes, I needed real treatment. I did personally IV antibiotics. I did oral antibiotics initially, and then I did a herbal and more natural regimen as well to help improve my health. But I also, in addition to those things, did a lot of mindfulness techniques. I focused on my mindset, rest, relaxation, faith, exercise to your point. I think you need to focus on all of those things together to be as successful as you can in your healing journey. But for me, it was hard to admit that because so many people said it's all in your head and you can just think it away. But really, it's a combination of both, I feel. So, what do you think about that? Do you think that's hard for us in the Lyme community because we were told it's all in our head and we can think it away to recognize that that is part of the healing experience, but not the only part of the healing experience?
For me, it's a bit hard to answer this, but for me, I am on meditation the 24 hours per day because I have this brain fog. So I am like this the whole day, very relaxed now. You know what I mean. So for me, this is a kind of meditation. I am calm. So I don't think this really works for, of course, related with depression. Yes, I agree. When you are angry or bad in some situation in life. But for me, my experience, I realized it along the years. I had a very, it was very hard to deal with frustrations. For me, this is very hard today. So maybe, okay, the mindset can help during this moment. But for me, it's very hard to answer this since I got a bit resistant, you know. With of course medicine and herbs and supplements, very important, and therapy, psychotherapy, to understand and learn to listen your body and respect your body also. Don't feel guilty, because we feel guilty when we just lay down and don't do anything. I feel guilty. So it's important to have a compensation. So I believe for most of people, faith in God or pray, it's a way to receive this relief.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I mean. So, Max had asked earlier, what have you done that has helped you sort of feel better and get through it, especially when you were younger in your 20s? And I think, what I'm hearing from you, Paola, is that yes, you really need antibiotics and herbs and things to take to help make you feel better and get rid of the disease and the illness. But being able to have therapy and deal with the emotions will help you feel even better. So I'll kind of use my example here. When I was really sick, I would have anxiety, I'd feel alone, I'd feel depressed, and those feelings I had made me even more physically worse because my body was so overwhelmed. My brain was overwhelmed. I was tensing up my body physically. I was tensing up because I was anxious and nervous. And when you are sick from Lyme and infections, and you are in a place of anxiety and depression and really bad emotions, you're going to get even worse because your body isn't able to
Yes.
heal or to do what it was designed to do. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to feel great. It just means you're not going to feel as bad as you would if you were completely anxious and depressed and in a bad place emotionally, which is why therapy is so important, Paola. So, do you agree with that? That there it really is two sides to the coin, where there's a physical
Of course.
healing part, but the emotional, the therapy, the spiritual is really important too, to help have a state of calm to allow your body to
Yes.
heal with the support of the medicine, right?
For sure. Yes. And also during these years, I was really trying, something with religion. I was like with strong beliefs also. So maybe this helped me. During these years, across these hard times, of course. Yeah, but good that I found and I could increase the this I mean treat the neck with antibiotics. And now I'm not so much into mindset, but I'm more into sports. And because I feel I need a bit time, to accept again some, like, okay, you are with pain, try to do meditation. Because my doctor here in Ori, I said I was crying with pain, and she said, did you try to get fresh air? So for me, it's almost suggested meditation, and I was very angry at that time. So I need more time to maybe feel less angry with some
Yeah,
procedures like this.
and it makes sense because you were told from the time you were 11 until the time you got diagnosed at 39 years old. So you're talking
Oof,
about
yes.
30 years of your life, you were told it's fibromyalgia and depression. So you were told it's all in your head, and it wasn't. So when somebody says to you, hey, go out and get fresh air and you're going to feel better, you respond by saying, it's not all in my head. It's not just that I need fresh air. There's something else going on. So I totally get that reaction. So understood, right? And that's where I
Yes.
think the balance of understanding you need treatment and these other tools is really the best approach to healing. So you mentioned exercise, and I want to touch on this. And maybe Max, if you can weigh in on your experiences too with movement, because people that are avid listeners to this podcast know I personally have struggled with exercise. Before I got sick, I was a big runner. I was running about 10 miles a day. The typical story. I was working multiple jobs, exercising. Then when I got sick, I was extremely exercise intolerant. And even as I started to feel better, if I went for a half a mile walk, I would be in pain for a week. Like you, Paola, you described the more you exercise, the worse you feel. And it's been almost 10 years for me, but I've been able to little by little by little do more. I mean, this past Saturday, I was able to do a jog, run, walk for almost 8 miles, which I could never could have done even a couple of years ago. But my learning lesson has been little by little by little. So you start by walking and do a half a mile or a couple of houses. And each day you try to push yourself a little bit more so you minimize the pain you feel. And then as you build your muscles and you build your strength, then you're able to do more and more and more. And when you look back, you've made significant progress. So I know it's really hard. And for me personally, it was hard to accept that I had to push myself. But can both of you share your experiences, with exercise and if it's really been that important in your healing journeys as well?
Yes, so I understand very well what you mean. I was very sportive, I loved taekwondo, martial arts. I did also kung fu and Chinese boxing. And also gym. So how could I deal with all of this? Because I couldn't, I projected myself into a character that I like very much. That is Lara Croft from Tomb Raider. She is very tough girl. And I said, oh, I would love to be this woman, I don't need to be rich. I just want to be like her, strong like her. And she is a climber. So I tried in my life, do everything I could to be a little bit like her. Even shooting, I learned how to shoot with many kind of guns just for relaxing, relaxing. So I and also martial arts, I did 6 years one place, 2 more years another, but always I was struggling a lot. But when I with 20 I stopped because I start to be worse. 20, and I try it again. Well, with 25, and I struggle more and more, and I stop it again. And 26, I had the problem in my knee. And later, a lot of physiotherapy, a lot, and I came back to gym. But all the time I was in gym, I needed to stop for, like you said, you also couldn't tolerate the pain of the exercise. For me, tolerate the pain of the exercise is hell, because I feel when I am moving, I feel these wounds I have in my joints. So but by one side, I try to don't have give energy or focus for these wounds, for this pain. I try to use a bit anger, like I don't accept to be like this. It's like I really don't accept to be like this. I don't accept to be old, like or feel old before I should be old. So I really struggle with pain because if I don't do it, I feel frustration, and frustration for me is very bad. So I just learned that I should breathe very deep all the time. all the time. Brief. Sometimes my boyfriend, you are feeling a lot of pain. Yes, I am feeling a lot of pain. Or you cannot. Why you cannot hold this? This is not so heavy. And say, I don't know why. I just cannot. But we that have Lyme, you know very well that it's like a strange fatigue. Your muscle cannot deal. But even if my muscle cannot deal, something I will do with this muscle. So my goal now about muscles and gym is try to get more muscles in mostly in back also and shoulders. So I would like to be my own laboratory and see if my pain can decrease or if I can be more tolerate with pain if I have more muscles and more power. So because I tried medicines, I tried everything. I learned that I should live with this pain for the rest of my life, probably. So this let me be a bit acid also with myself. But this is the way I found to continue, you know. Life is pain a bit, so it's a bit painful, but it's better feel pain with exercise. Without exercise. Anyway, I feel pain.
Yeah, exercise for me has honestly been the most challenging life category post Lyme. For me, I was in bed most of the time for about 10 years, and as a result, I lost all of the muscles in my back. Sounds like you also have that problem just from laying down and sitting so much. I lost all my back, shoulder, neck muscles. So I've had chronic pain in the right side of my body for over 10 years now. But to exercise, for me, the problem was less the pain. I didn't really get pain when I exercised, but it was more so the mental energy, being so tired all the time, and then also having issues with my mental strength. Not being able to think well, not being able to complete tasks. I was just too tired to take care of my physical body. And it wasn't until 3 months ago that I started doing some exercise after over 10 years. Obviously, I still have Lyme disease, but I have started getting better. I think 3 years back, and throughout that time, I had to first go to therapy and start processing all of the trauma I had been through to deal with the mental, effects from having gone through Lyme disease, and then dealing with all, the mental health aspects. And after you get better, you still have so many years and so much that you have to work on to kind of recover in all of the different categories. So after 3 years of having gotten much better with my Lyme, I'm only now starting to focus and be able to give some of my mental energy towards exercise. But something I noticed over the years is when you create a goal that is too big. For example, going from never going to the gym and never exercising to saying, I'm going to go to the gym every day, or I'm going to go to the gym 3 times a day. I failed every time. So, a big lesson I learned was making these goals that are too big and then failing, and then you become discouraged, and then you just stop. Like, you stop completely. This past year, I've really learned the power of habit stacking, and that's been like the most amazing thing that I've discovered thus far. So I've been trying to habit stack with both mental things and physical things. For example, I started with learning Spanish, and I do 3 to 5 minutes of Duolingo every single day. It's very easy. It's not time consuming. It makes my brain work, but only for 3 minutes. so I don't get that tired. And I've now done that for over 450 days in a row. And once I was able to get those 3 minutes every day down consistently, then I was able to add another habit. And that next habit I did, since my back is so weak, I started doing one back exercise every day. It took 1 minute. 1 minute of my life every day. And after about 1 month, I had that habit created and I knew I wasn't going to lose that habit. And I also started feeling less pain because I was strengthening those back muscles that I had lost. So creating, for me, creating these small, very achievable goals, but only creating one at a time. And then not adding another goal until I've really gained that consistency on the first one. That has been the most effective strategy for me that I've found so far. But yeah, the exercise bit is a huge challenge, and it's still my biggest challenge personally. But I wanted to kind of shift focus a little bit because you brought something up a while back in the discussion that kind of piqued my interest. You brought up menstruation and how your symptoms are usually worse during your period. Personally, I never heard of someone talk about that, which is why I'm really interested in it. And it got me thinking. I have neurological Lyme and I have seizures. And when I'm menstruating, I have more seizure activity and I'm more prone to have a seizure. So that was really interesting for me to hear you talk about that. I'm wondering if you can elaborate a little bit more on kind of how things change for you during that time.
During the menstruation, you mean during the period?
Yes.
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 I read some papers also after my doctor told me, yes, the period it's hard for women with Lyme disease. I wanted to understand why, and looks like it's something related with estrogen peak. And also, I try to take hormones, contraceptives, and my pain increased a lot. So I tried progesterone alone, estrogen alone, combination, small doses, everything. I cannot. Otherwise, it will be hell. So when I am getting my period, 1 week before, usually I start to feel more pain in joints and mostly in shoulders. And also I feel my muscles with these trigger points more swelling up. And also I feel more issues with how can I say about feelings, more afraid, I feel more insecure, more anxious in general. So I, and when I am in coming, my period is coming, I feel more trembling hands. Also, my mind is more, I have more problems to find words. To solve easy tasks, to keep long conversation. And also I have it's also my eye I my eyes sometimes when I am my period I am more my eyes are more blurry and I have this noise in my ears also. So yeah, I had also neuroborreliosis, problems with to how can I say equilibrium also. So in this period I feel also my heart much more heavy, looks like it's more heavy I feel the I have an extra systole, extra. I forgot in English. You know when you have your ventricle jump one more time, my heart and don't do boom boom,
Like
do
an
boom boom boom.
arrhythmia.
Yeah, like arrhythmia. So I developed this arrhythmia also, and I feel pain when the heart starts to be crazy, you know, and also in my neck it radiates pain for the neck. So in this period, I am more like this, and I cannot sleep well. But after 2 weeks, I mean, 1 week before period, and 1 week after period, I have these issues. So it's half a month about.
That's half your
It's
life.
worse. Yes,
Wow.
I don't know if everyone it's this, but at least my doctor and a lot of women, when I speak, they say, "Huh, in period is hell. It's complicated."
Are there any methods, tips, tricks that you have found that are effective for helping you or reducing any of these symptoms?
Massage helps to relief a little bit, but it's more instantaneous relief. And I also realized that when I go into jacuzzi and I have this massage with water, it helps a lot. Because I believe it maybe stimulates the circulation, and this something happen and I feel more relaxed. But also sometimes when I am with a lot of pain, I take a hot shower. That also helps a little bit. And also cannabis helps a little bit. Not always, but it helps. Which more I can say? Some anti-inflammatories I use sometimes, not always, but helps like 20%, 30%.
That's interesting. Do you take natural anti-inflammatories or prescription?
Yes, actually, when I was facing a lot of pain, of course, always is a lot, but before when I couldn't walk well, I started to read about natural, and here in Norway you have a lot of birch, I think is the name of the tree. Yes, and I saw that Sami people, Scandinavian, natives, they use it for treat the leaves of these trees for treat some like antibiotics and also anti-inflammatory. So what I started to do 3 years ago, I started to drink from these leaves, and I realized that helps, really helps. But you need to drink a lot, and like all anti-inflammatories, it's not good if you drink a lot because of the stomach. So at least I can take in, you know, in my backyard here. It's easy. And so I use this to help me. Yes.
That's interesting. I never
But
heard of birch.
also, yeah. So it's quite good, and also curcumin I use curcumin. I know it's natural also, and also it's good, but against Lyme I don't remember why now, but it's good. And fish oil, this bacalhau from cod. It's also good, protects the brain. I have been using this. Yes.
Yeah, I just wanted to respond to some of the things you brought up. I also take omega-3s, the fish oil, but I take the ones from kelp. That seems to help me with my cognitive function. For me, I take anti-inflammatories, not all the time, but when I most need them, as you said, since it's tough on the stomach. I found turmeric and black pepper capsules work really, really well for me personally. And then the hot water as well works for me very, very well. Whenever I have chronic pain in my back and shoulders, I take a hot bath. And you mentioned the cannabis as well, which obviously you can use in so many different ways, from ingesting to the topicals. But something I discovered recently that works well for me is the CBD bath salts to put in the bath. That helps. I think, the hot water opens your pores, so it gets in there quickly and soothes the body. But one thing I wanted to bring up that helps me a lot, because you mentioned circulation, especially during the period, and how circulation can help with some of that pain. Something that works for me better than anything else is hot cold therapy. So, something I've practiced is every single time I take a hot shower, I end the shower with 1 minute of freezing water. It's extremely uncomfortable, but I do that hyperventilation breathing ahead of time to prepare my body for the shock of the cold water. But going from the hot to the cold immediately, obviously it triggers the immune system, and it makes your circulatory system work really, really fast. And I found for me, doing that hot cold contrast helps reduce my pain immediately. But I also found that it has a more long lasting effect than if I just take a bath that's super relaxing and then I get out and then I'm in pain again after 5 minutes.
Okay, so you experience a good or longer period without pain if you take this shock.
Exactly. Yeah, going back and forth between the hot and the cold. And I've heard a lot of people who do, the ice baths and things like that for pain reduction. But yeah, for me, this has been the number one method for managing the pain, is the hot cold therapy together.
Interesting, because here we have a lot, and I tried once. I thought I was going to die because very hard. But next time I will remember about you, and I will go inside as
Yeah.
this water.
Well, the ice therapy, and some people do cryotherapy, which I think is also supposed to be really good for you. Those are kind of the extreme, versions. But for me, just taking the hot shower and ending with 1 minute of cold, no ice, is a really good way to practice getting the body used to that contrast before you go straight into the ice bath or the cryotherapy.
Very good. I will try this today.
Awesome. Let me know how it goes.
Yes, very good.
So, Paola, I'm curious, besides the antibiotics, was there anything else that you've done that we haven't discussed that's been helpful in your healing journey, whether it be to treat Lyme or even just give you symptom relief that you can share with our listeners?
For me, I think the after this 30 years being infected, I believe the most important thing was the antibiotics. And I cannot say so much about it after antibiotics because I finished my treatment in 1st of January. So now I am taking this medicine, one medicine to increase immunity. Now I am slowly experiencing more what really helps. Because for me, it's like a blind shot. I finished to take antibiotics quite months ago, quite few months ago. So for me, what really helped me was the antibiotics. So I hope this medicine now can help me a little bit more with the immunity. And I realized it also after when I took the antibiotics. When I finished, looks like my body was adapting. It was going into a kind of adaptation, and the bacteria was growing again. But I felt, oh my God, maybe my treatment was not working well. Now I have a lot of troubles, but not suddenly. Looks like my body was adapted, or the bacteria just stopped, or they grew a bit more, but there are some that is controlling inside my body, and I feel more, not so many variations per day. You know what I mean? It's not floating so much. I feel more stable now. So, what I really do now when I have a lot of pain that helps is maybe take hot shower, and I will try this cold and this hot and cold. But it's a pity that I cannot say so much more because it's too early for me to say what is really helping me now. Maybe good food also. I'm trying to, because I lost many kilos. I lost muscles in my back also, and legs, everything. And now I am trying to eat more good meat, real meat, and vegetables, and take also vitamins to help me to give power every day. And believe that, like you said, faith is important. So I believe that the vitamins are doing some effect. And I also believe in the exercise. So I am I don't know in English, how can I say, but putting all efforts into this now.
Yeah, so
Yes.
you're in the repair phase. So, we look at Lyme as there's different phases to the journey, and we've come up with a different, we call it ACR. So there's the I'm sorry, not ACR, PARM. I'm giving a sneak peek at something else that we're working on. But with PARM, it's really you have to prehab your body, you have to assist your body to kill and remove the pathogens. And then you have your recovery and maintenance. So you're at a point now where you're building your body back up from decades of damage. So you're taking vitamins, you're eating well, you're exercising, you're taking things to boost your immune system because now you're done with the assist or the kill phase to kill the bacteria and you're rebuilding and you're rebuilding. And that's where you are right now. Can you share with us if you know offhand, what medicine are you on or what do you want to help rebuild your immune system? Because you mentioned there was some immune therapy you were doing.
Yeah, can you help me with the name of this medicine? It says naltrexona,
Oh, naltrexone.
naltrexene. Yeah,
Low
this.
dose, probably LDN, low dose
Low
naltrexone.
doses,
Yep.
yes.
Yep. That's very common. So that's another great tool. So now you're at a point where you're really strengthening your body. And are you still working? What's life like now that you're done with treatment and you're rebuilding? What kind of life do you have? It sounds like you have a boyfriend, you're happy. So just give us some breakthroughs and happiness in your life now that you've gotten through this aggressive treatment with the antibiotics.
You mean what is making me more, I mean, good and happy, feeling good in
Yep.
my day, in daily, okay. So, yes, I have a boyfriend. He supports me a lot. He also helped me a lot with gym to yeah, he has more experience than me, and this makes me believe I can improve. So this is a good, very good point that gives me more I want to, go into this and feel more brave to try, And also my family that supports me, they are always they now understand better. My mother helped me a lot also in this process of taking care of me. And also now my job, at least my colleagues, they understand the situation. I try to be a bit more tough also in job because I don't want to show to them that I need to work less because my boss offered me. If I want to work less, I believe you need to work less. No, I don't want. I want to continue. I want to have the same salary. My boss doesn't understand. She is pathologist, but she doesn't understand well that the illness is hard to be treated. She thought, oh my God, being at home for 1 month looks like you looks good. You don't looks ill. So my boss doesn't understand so well, but now she accepted better. And I feel more support from my group and also I have few friends here, but good friends that listen me I can talk about my problems, like psychological problems, my issues in life. So I think this combination gave me good are all of this combination are giving me yeah, a good perspective, to continue in this way and to, yeah, don't give up. So I
Well,
think all of this helped me a lot.
Paola, we can't thank you enough for joining our Tick Bootcamp podcast. Max, we can't thank you enough for coming back to co-host after 3 years of being a guest yourself on this podcast. I mean, truly, all three of us are in different parts of the world, but we're united through this common cause to raise awareness and help other people across the globe to deal with chronic Lyme disease. So, Paola and Max, thank you again for joining our podcast.
Absolutely. Thank you so
Of
much,
course, Claude.
Paola. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak with you about this, both of you. And if of course, if you have in the future, probably I can share much more experience about my immunity. So it will be always a pleasure to talk with you and also get feedbacks like I'm learning with both of you.